Good day, everyone. Welcome back to the Doc of Detox Show. I'm Dr. Daryl Wolf, and today's show is the 5G connection with Magna Havas, Dr. Magna Havas. Dr. Havas' research since the 1990s is concerned with the biological effects of electromagnetic pollution, including radio frequency radiation, electromagnetic fields, dirty electricity, and ground current. So I am not an expert in 5G. You know what? I'll tell you that right now. And I wouldn't even say that I'm very knowledgeable about 5G, except what I've heard from other people that research it. And you know what? Right now, the only thing I know is that 5G will affect the fluids in the human body, okay? Because we know that water picks up frequency. And the other thing that I'm hearing right now is that 5G may have a disturbance on the bacteria that do not just live on you, but inside of you. And this could be a problem because with my knowledge, I understand that I'm a walking glob of bacteria and I'm 50 trillion cells approximately, but 500 trillion bacteria live in me and on me. So this could create a problem for the future. I don't know, but we're going to find out from somebody who knows more than I do. All right, so let's begin the show. Good day, Dr. Magna Havas. Thanks for coming.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
So how are you doing through all of this lockdown, shutdown? Are you liking it?
I love it. I'm retired, so it doesn't change my life very much at all. And I still get to interact with, you know, family and friends, at least via the computer. And so I'm doing really well.
Very good. So you've actually retired?
I retired two years ago now, this October. And loving every minute of it. I get to do what I'm passionate about. So I still do research and I still publish and I still give talks. And then I don't have to do the things that weren't that meaningful to me, like attending committee meetings. So it's pretty good right now.
Beautiful. And I hear you have a cat, don't you?
I do have a cat and I hope she doesn't come and interrupt. She likes to be the center of attention. So she might actually come up and have her say during our conversation.
I hope she does. I hope she does. You know, we don't have to be that rigid, do we? Right?
Okay.
No, let's not do that. Okay. All right. We always have room for your family. Okay. All right. So let's get right to it. So what is 5G? And I know that that's kind of a broad sense of the word, but what is 5G? How do you personally feel about it?
Okay. Well, 5G, as most people already know, because there's been so much about it in the news and on the internet, 5G is called fifth generation telecom technology. And it follows, you know, 2G, 3G, 4G, and now it's 5G. And I think most people, because of that, think, oh, well, it's just another improvement. Because each of those have, you know, allowed for us to do more with the internet, use our telephones and download information, download pictures, videos, all sorts of things. So 5G to most people is just going to be even more convenient and, you know, hopefully very beneficial. As a scientist, however, I've been studying the effects of 2G, 3G, and 4G. And one of the things that we know is that this radiation is not benign. It's actually harmful. And it's harmful at levels that we're already exposed to, even if we don't introduce 5G into the equation. So when 5G comes online, and it's being erected all across Canada right now, the levels of radiation are just going to go up and up and up and up. And I've been talking to colleagues around the world who are watching the same thing happening in their communities. And what they're, so I'm hearing two things. One is that people who weren't affected by the radiation up till now are beginning to have adverse health symptoms. And the other thing I'm hearing is that the scientists who are going out and measuring the radiation are coming up with much higher levels than were there a year or two earlier. So our level of radiation is going up. No one really understands what's happening. They think this is a real advantage. And people are getting sick. So I'm deeply, deeply, deeply concerned about 5G technology.
Now, does the 5G technology actually, like the frequency, go into the cell like a microwave and then heat it up from the inside and then out? Is that how it works?
Well, 5G is actually not one frequency. It's three different frequency bands. One frequency band is in the order of 500 to 900 megahertz, and that's called the sub 1 gigahertz frequency. So it's below 1 gigahertz frequency. Then we have another band between about 2 and about 6 gigahertz frequencies. That's the second band. The third band is called millimeter waves, and they're all microwaves, they're all radio waves. The millimeter waves start at about 20 gigahertz and go up from there. And all three of them are part of the 5G rollout. In Canada, we don't have the millimeter waves for 5G yet. And the reason for that is the government auctions off these frequencies. Just like when a radio station wants to go online, they buy that frequency for the radio station, and that's their channel. So basically what the telecom providers need to do is they need to buy the frequencies they're going to be using in their geographic location. And for millimeter waves, that hasn't been done. It has been done in the United States, and I think there might be some consequences to that that are beginning to show up in some of the, you know, data that people are collecting.
Okay, I have two things. First, a comment. I'm seeing 5G towers put up right on the other side of, there's a provincial park right across the street from me. And then there's this old volcano, and on the other side, there's a 5G tower. So it's there, but it's not running?
Oh, no, it's running. It's running at the lower frequencies, the sub 1. The sub 1 gigahertz and the sub 6 gigahertz frequencies. And then as soon as they auction off the millimeter waves, it'll then have millimeter waves as well.
Okay, so, and we know that like places like where we just had a situation in China and one in Italy, they had a lot of that 5G already there, right?
They did. And they also had something else. And this is important for people to know. While the telecom providers have to buy a frequency that they're going to use for communication, within the electromagnetic spectrum, there are frequency bands that are unlicensed. They're free. And so one of those free frequency bands is 2.4 gigahertz, which is what you use for your microwave oven. So you don't have to have a license to run a microwave oven because it's using 2.4 gigahertz. And the same thing for 5.8 gigahertz. So there's parts of the spectrum, and some parts of the spectrum are used for medical uses. And those are free. You don't have to purchase them from the government. However, if you want to broadcast information and, you know, you have a channel, then you do have to buy those frequencies. So we've got part of the millimeter band between about 40 to 70 gigahertz is going to be free, which means you don't have to buy a license. And one of the things they're hoping to use it for is internet access through Wi-Fi. So they can just blanket an area, a rural area, and you've got internet access everywhere, and no one's paying for it. It's a free frequency.
Now, why are they doing that? Why are they doing that? Is it to do more marketing? Why are they doing that?
Well, one of the reasons they're doing that is currently we're using 2.45 gigahertz for Wi-Fi in the building. If they bump it up to 60, it means they can carry so much more information. It's just a huge amount of information very, very quickly. So you'll be able to download things so amazingly quickly on your computer when it's exposed to 60 gigahertz. The problem with 60 gigahertz is that according to the physics and chemistry research, oxygen absorbs optimally at 60 gigahertz. So different compounds and different elements and different molecules have different absorption frequencies. So if you took that element and let's assume, you know, you're looking for, you know, air. And so you're blowing air through a nebulizer and you're trying to figure out what frequencies it absorbs at. They will absorb at different frequencies, and we use it in things like atomic absorption spectroscopy. So when you're actually trying to find an element and what the concentration is in a solution or air or biological material, every element has its frequency absorption. It's like a fingerprint, a molecular or a frequency fingerprint. And it turns out that oxygen has an optimal absorption at 60 gigahertz. So oxygen molecules in the air are going to absorb that frequency preferentially, and it's going to affect their energy level. So, you know, they might wiggle more, they might spin differently. So it's going to affect them at an energetic level. And there have been claims made that this is going to interfere with our ability to respire. I've not been able to find anything on that last part. Oxygen does absorb at 60 gigahertz frequencies. 60 gigahertz frequencies are free, are already available in a lot of countries. And it might have an effect on your respiration. But at this stage, it's just might. We have no scientific evidence that I've been able to find along those lines.
I have a question. I hope it's not detouring too far off. But you know what I've noticed in the last probably 6 months is, and I don't think it's blue light. I know blue light can really damage the eyes and the brain. But I'm getting a lot of people calling up, and I mean a lot of people, with ringing in their ears. And I always thought that maybe that might be because of more of EMF than blue light. But something's got to be setting this off. There's so many people that, you know, are coming and wanting to do our ear restore therapy to just, and because the people are saying that, you know what, I've now, and this is like the last 6 months, ringing in the ears has like become a really huge thing.
I've noticed the same thing. And one of the things I mentioned, I've got this group of, you know, colleagues all over the world and we share information. That's one of the key symptoms that seems to be occurring with the rollout of 5G. So what frequencies they're using seems to affect that part of the human body and a lot of people. And this ringing is incredibly disturbing. Like, it's psychologically very, very disturbing to people. So, you know, living with it is extremely challenging.
Yeah, and I don't want to deviate off this too far, but if you're having a problem, because I'm going to tell you something, it'll drive you nuts, because I got to tell you that I'm one of them. So it was about 5 months ago, and I noticed the ringing was getting more and more, and I never had it before. So take a look at my DIY on YouTube, do it yourself, and you'll find out how to get rid of that ringing. And I really, truly mean that, because we've had, and I'm not kidding, hundreds, maybe even more than hundreds, maybe a few thousand people actually go and start doing this, because I don't know, it must be bothering the inner ear or the tympanic membrane or something, or I don't know what it's doing, if it's creating scar tissue or it's creating an acidic problem or crystallization or something, but something's being thrown off, and people are actually, that ringing is also throwing their balance off as well, so.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We were at a conference in Boston in 2004. It was an international firefighters conference. And the firefighters had a petition in there to remove cell towers or not put cell towers on fire halls.
Yeah.
Because men, you know, they sleep on the top floor, they're immediately under them. They sometimes use the roof for, you know, practicing and, you know, for their health and things like that. So we were at this conference and we talked to a group of firefighters, a Canadian group of firefighters. And after we spoke to them, quite a few of them told us they had ringing in the ears. They were incredibly dizzy. They had vertigo, and they were afraid to let their union bosses know because they wouldn't be able to keep them on as a firefighter. You can't care, you know, save a person, you know, coming out of a ladder, like a fire burning building down a ladder, if you've got vertigo. So this is becoming really, really serious. And they passed a resolution. It was Resolution 15. But unfortunately, a lot of communities are simply ignoring our firefighters and still putting towers on their fire halls and ultimately making some of them sick.
So I was watching a video where there was a government video on, and they were talking, and there hasn't been any studies on 5G, has there? Or am I incorrect about that?
Okay, well, once again, if we're talking about 5G, we've got three frequency bands.
Okay.
So to be accurate, there hasn't been any long-term studies on millimeter waves, which is part of the 5G package. We know what some of the lower frequencies do because we're exposed to them. But the millimeter waves for long-term exposure have not been tested. They've been used, they're used currently for some medical procedures quite effectively, particularly in Eastern Europe. And they're particularly good for pain relief. But you're exposed for only a few seconds to minutes to this radiation in order to help you. The U.S. military is using millimeter waves for their active denial system, which is a form of non-lethal crowd control. And they're using 95 gigahertz. And what they do is they take an antenna and they aim it at a crowd. And then someone sitting in the tank with a little joystick and a little monitor can actually aim the beam at an individual or a group of individuals. And when they press the button and turn it on, there's a very high intensity beam that is aimed at the person. And if the beam radiation is absorbed by water. And so water in their skin begins to absorb this heat up incredibly, like it heats up instantaneously, and they feel like their skin's on fire. The longest they've been able to tolerate it is about 3 seconds, and some people have second degree burns from it. So really, really dangerous technology in that regard. It's also something that affects your eyes. So when they have these military personnel standing up testing the equipment, they should definitely tell them to protect their eyes, put something over your eyes, because your cornea and, the lens of your eyes extremely sensitive to any form of microwave radiation and heating. And so basically, I think what they're doing is they're bringing on early cataracts in these people. The third use of millimeter waves is in airports. When you go through the security and you have to raise your arms up like this, those are using millimeter waves. And one of the things I've been told there is that the employees, the security employees, have to calibrate the technology, and each person would go through it about 20 times a day to calibrate the technology. So the employees there are really getting a very high dose of millimeter wave technology, and some of them are reporting ill health as a result.
Yeah, I travel a fair bit, so I always opt out, and sometimes they're really nice about it, and it would bother me that they would even try to force us to do this at the beginning. But, you got to let go of that because you can't change that. So every time I just psych myself up and say it's time for my, border massage. So, I just want to stay really relaxed and easy with this thing, right? Because rules are rules. But it's amazing how many people are just doing it, just opting for it. They just opt for it now.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's a really, really dangerous time to not question authority. And I think that we have to do that. I tell people to question me, question anybody that is doing anything that has anything to do with your health. Get a second, get a third opinion. That would be really great as well. So what other things go ahead.
Were you saying, I might have misunderstood you, were you saying it's a time to question authority?
Yes.
Or not to question authority?
To question authority, yes, it is.
That's always the time to question authority,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Always do that. And as children, we're taught to respect authority figures, right? And so at some stage, when someone in authority has really let us down in, one way or another, that's when we realize we have to question them. And if you've never had that experience in your life and you were taught, the government is here to help you, the doctor's job is to make you healthy. And if you just believe all of this, then I think you're going to be in for a very rude awakening when things change. And right now, the authority that we're supposed to trust is Health Canada for this form of, setting the guidelines. And they've proven to be totally untrustworthy since at least the 1990s regarding this issue.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've seen things on that. And there's some other things going on with Health Canada as well, but I don't want to get into that today. And I really don't know if they are Health Canada anymore. Is there anything else, any other things that we should be concerned with? What about infants and 5G?
Well, we actually don't know how 5G is going to affect the population.
Okay.
Infants, you simply compare them to adults, are going to be so much more sensitive. So, you know, if anything, the, you know, protecting the fetus is very important when a woman's pregnant. The infant is very at a very delicate stage in the life cycle. And as kids get older, I think they're able to handle stresses in the body a little bit better. And the, you know, older you are, the more sensitive you become again, simply because of your immune system, you know, changing and some of the, you know, your body deteriorating to a certain degree. So very young, very old, pregnant women, students in school, particularly elementary school, really need to be protected from this. And what I've heard is that they're putting 5G into schools. During this lockdown, they've been going into schools, certainly here in Ontario, and they're putting up 5G antennas. They're putting up 5G antennas on city streets, and they do it in the middle of the night. So people, you know, are sleeping and they, you know, don't even realize what's going on. So what's happening, I think, is truly disturbing, both from the perspective of the government and the way the industry is handling all of this by not sharing information, by not being open, and the government by not regulating it properly.
Yeah, I think that when it comes to our government, they don't serve us anymore. I don't know if they ever did, but now with all of these things happening, there's so many things happening. It's like, how do you pick one, right? Between GMOs, between the V word, you know, between the C word. I mean, there's so much going on that, you know, you start to go loop-de-loop here. I mean, there's nobody guarding the hen house, is there? There really isn't anybody.
No.
So is there anything that, what would you tell people to do on a personal level and a family level or a business level, just things of that nature? What can they do? And can you ask, you know, I know that, you know, like we carry things that will help to protect people with 5G, but what can we really do? I mean, the thing is I don't think it should exist, but it does, and it's going to, right?
Well, scientists have asked to have a moratorium on the rollout of 5G. Elon Musk is sending satellites into outer space. You know, he wants to send several thousand of them into outer space. And that's just going to send radiation back to Earth. And it's unacceptable. It's, you know, who gave him the right to occupy space? Simply because he can do it doesn't mean he should do it. And how are these satellites going to be used? If the intensity is turned up sufficiently, they can be weaponized. So it can go well beyond just for communication. The other really serious concern is surveillance. In Toronto, they're putting up 5G cameras. So they're doing facial recognition, just like they did in China. In China, you can actually make purchases through using only facial recognition. So you don't need a credit card, you don't need money. They take a look at your face, and if you're the right person, then you can actually purchase something. They're putting it into schools, and it's on city streets. And if they catch you jaywalking, for example, and there's a fine associated with it, they simply go into your bank account, withdraw the fine. And so you're now beginning to have very little control over your financial situation as well, because they're going more and more electronic. So you mentioned GMOs, you know, you've mentioned the V word, you mentioned the C word, we've got the, you know, 5G issues, and now we've got this digital currency and, you know, facial recognition. So, you know, one of the key things, once 5G is fully operational, they will be able to track each and every one of us with no problem. And we won't need to have a, you know, RF identification chip in our body. They'll be able to do it simply through facial recognition. It's such a fast technology that, and basically by allowing this to happen, we're giving up our freedom and our rights.
Yeah, we're no longer human beings, we're human doings. You know, I think that will be the takedown of the spirit, to be honest with you. So I see that you're following what's going on with the C word, right? So can you tell us about that?
Yeah, when all of this happened, I was actually in Florida, and we got the message from, you know, staying with some friends, and we heard the message from Trudeau saying, you know, all Canadians, please come home. So, you know, we came home March 16th or 17th, which is right when he was making the call. And we were jam-packed into an airplane, so they weren't doing social distancing at that time. And we came home. We were in quarantine, home quarantine for 14 days, as they recommended. I actually remained in home. I'm still sort of in home quarantine. I go out very little. So we've been in home quarantine for, 6 weeks, if not longer. I'd have to add that up. And I thought, this is kind of weird. How do they know this virus is going to be so deadly? And they were predicting that millions of people in the United States alone were going to die. And so we get more and more scary news coming. And I thought, is the lockdown the appropriate way to deal with things? A lockdown is pretty extreme, where everything has to be locked down except essential services. And so the question was this an appropriate reaction to the C scare that we've all been exposed to? And initially I thought it wasn't. And what I did is I put a blog on my website that I can give you later on. But basically it was comparing deaths from the flu, deaths from cancers, deaths from traffic accidents, just a whole bunch of deaths in the whole planet that happened annually. And when you looked at that, COVID-19 didn't even make the top 10. It was incredibly small percentage, even when they thought it was going to be much more virulent than it was. So it turned out to be less virulent. And so I thought, they don't shut the world down for the flu. Why are they doing it for this one? It mentally just didn't make sense. And so I started following all the statistics for the various countries. And I decided to see if there was a relationship between exposure of people, the hot spots where they were getting really sick and a lot of people were dying. Was there any relationship to, the number of internet users or phone subscribers to try to get a sense of what they were exposed to? And I did this very, very carefully for the United States, every state in the United States. And I put it once again on my website for discussion. But one of the things we found was that the US states that have 5G, if you compare them to the US states that don't have 5G yet operating, there was a big difference in the number of cases reported and especially in the number of deaths. And when you looked at the states that have 5G with millimeter waves that are already operating in the US, or 5G without millimeter waves operating, the ones that had millimeter waves, once again, you compare the death rates per million people or per test. And once again, it showed a difference. So it looks as though, if this is consistent, that there's a relationship between our exposure to electromagnetic pollution and the death rate or the mortality rate associated with the C problem.
So what do you think about the lockdown and the social distancing then?
Well, Sweden didn't do social distancing they didn't do the lockdown. They did social distancing for a while because we were getting so many deaths, particularly in New York. I thought, okay, this was the right move. So I went through the phase saying, why are they doing this? It doesn't make sense. To, okay, this might have been the right move. To once again going back and questioning it. And the reason I'm questioning whether the lockdown was the right move is for a number of reasons. One is there's this issue of herd immunity. So people, the most sensitive in the population, are going to die. And this is horrible. Like, I'm not trying to belittle that at all. But it wasn't as though a lot of really healthy people were dying. So as long as you had a strong immune system, you were going to be okay with this. And I think the reason so many people died in New York is of the crowding. Like, people are just so close together in New York, and they weren't practicing social distancing right off the bat. And so the virus had a chance to actually circulate around. Density is really high in New York City compared to a lot of other cities. So there's a lot of reasons why it was so lethal in New York. But doctors are reporting that they're being asked to label things as a C death, even if someone died for some other reason. So basically what they're trying to do is they had a model that showed we were going to have really high death rates. that hasn't been happening. So they're trying to inflate the number of deaths associated with the sea problem because it fits their mandate, which I think is to keep people afraid. So I actually think the best move would have been to protect those who need protection. And, you know, in hindsight, it's always easier to look back and say, what should we have done? So I'm not criticizing anyone. I wouldn't have known what to do in this situation either. But I think the best move would have been to protect the elderly in, you know, some of the homes that they're in, particularly to protect people who are already immune compromised and make sure that they're in lockdown so they don't go out and circulate and get the illness. And then just to practice social distancing and use the masks and, you know, washing your hands and all the things that they're recommending, having the rest of us do that. And I think then there would have been many fewer deaths, and we might have begun to develop a herd
immunity.
Thank you. A herd immunity. Yeah. To the virus. Yeah.
And have you heard about how hospitals are being paid, that if they actually put on there that somebody has COVID, they get paid so much, and then if they put somebody on a ventilator, they get paid even more?
Yes, and the people who they've been putting on ventilators have been responding atypically, and a lot of people have died because of ventilators. There have been some very brave doctors in the United States who have started speaking out about this, you know, from California to New York City. And what they're saying is that what they're finding in the hospital setting with their patients is that some of them have typical C, you know, viral reaction. And then there's a group that's totally atypical, and their blood's clotting. They're not reacting the same way that you should if it was a viral infection. And one doctor actually said the symptoms of his patients was similar to altitude sickness. So their body just wasn't getting enough oxygen. And when I saw that, I was really intrigued, because we've done research looking at rouleau formation in the blood, which is the blood cells sticking together. And when that happens, when you're exposed to electromagnetic pollution, it means that your blood can't circulate, can't absorb as much oxygen. And so that would lead to an oxygen deficit. And a lot of these hospitals are just loaded with electromagnetic pollution. They have antennas on their buildings. They use wireless technology. The other thing, so basically this flow that happens in some people causes very viscous, very tomato ketchup-y-like blood. Then we've done research where we've looked at the heart, how it affects the heart. And we find with some people it causes an irregular heart rate. So combine the heart kind of struggling and the blood being, you know, really, really clodgy, and then insert a virus on top of that, and you've got a perfect storm. So I think there's some interaction between the electromagnetic hygiene that needs to be practiced and, you know, the physical hygiene of hand washing that needs to be practiced to really minimize the health effects of this virus.
So I heard that all the hospitals are 5G now. So that would even add to the problem, correct? And like you said, there's a lot of wireless there as well, right?
Well, I don't know about the 5G. It's okay. I'm finding it really difficult to get accurate information where 5G is and where it isn't.
Right.
There's a lot of misinformation out there, and I try to get everything verified. So all hospitals now, or probably most, have a huge amount of wireless technology. If you go into the hospital, you've got access to Wi-Fi. If you're a patient, you know, a staff member or a guest, you've got all sorts of other technologies that they're using to communicate with each other wirelessly. You've got antennas on top of the buildings. Like, you've got so much microwave radiation in a hospital that anyone who is even, you know, slightly electrically hypersensitive would become sick by going into that environment.
Do you have any tips for people if they end up going to the hospital, what they can do? Or there's not a lot they can do?
Well, there's not a lot they can do to protect themselves. One of the things we're doing is we're talking to hospital staff, and we're starting with their PR department, trying to encourage them to have spaces in hospitals for people who are electrically hypersensitive. So a clean environment, and have them just, you know, remain in that clean environment rather than go elsewhere in the hospital. And this has been done in Sweden for quite a few years, and we're trying to get it into hospitals. We've got two hospitals cooperating so far in Ontario, and we're hoping that that will eventually spread to a lot of others.
Great, thank you. So everybody, I want you to know that we're going to be back here tomorrow at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So I want everybody to put their questions for Dr. Magna Havas underneath on Facebook, or you can do it on YouTube, or send it in on Intercom. So we really appreciate your questions. Please let everybody know, and make sure that you share this show so that people can start to become more informed. And, you know, as information gets more clear, we're going to be doing more shows to bring out that information, because things aren't as clear as we'd like them to be. And sometimes, you know what, we have to wait and see where the truth really lies. And sometimes it takes a little bit to uncover that. So what would you like to tell everybody before we close off for today? What things would you like them to maybe, I don't know, watch or do, or what should they be doing as a family or just on a personal level?
Well, I think it's really important for people to wake up and question what is happening around them. So questioning authority right now, I think, is one of the most important things going on. There are a lot of conspiracies, messages going out there. They're called conspiracy theories. And right now, some of those conspiracy theories are making more sense than reality. So, you know, is it a theory, or is it real? And I think what's really important is for people just to learn as much as possible about the V problem, about the C problem, about the 5G problem, and then make up their own mind and decide what kind of world do you want to live in. And I think if we had the silent majority actually become actively involved in wanting to learn more about this and really wanting to wake up, then they can decide if they want the technology, rather than having a few people in positions of authority decide what we should be exposed to for their financial gain.
Thank you. I have a question to ask you, and that is, what do you think about this? I've seen a lot of videos come up in the last 2 or 3 weeks that are really well done, really well researched, and they're not up for more than 12 hours, not even up for a few hours. I just had a video pulled down of mine last night off of YouTube.
This is absolutely unacceptable in a free society to have information taken off. It's like book burning, right? If you had a book that you didn't like, you could just burn it and no one else could see it. Taking it off YouTube or Facebook or whatever is totally unacceptable in the way that, you know, Canadians and Americans and a lot of Europeans, you know, view their values of being able to share information. The fact that YouTube is now dictating what is the truth, and people who provide misinformation, what gives them the right to decide what the truth is? And one of the statements, a senior official at Google said that if someone disagrees with the World Health Organization, they're spreading misinformation. Well, that's full of baloney. The World Health Organization, it has actually made quite a few mistakes in the past, and they've been corrected by people speaking out and sharing their truth. So we really have to be open-minded about this. And then, you know, but not open-minded to the point where you accept everything that you hear. You have to discern as to what you think, where the truth lies. This is really important, especially today, because what's happened has never happened in the history of the world. We have never had a full shutdown of the entire planet. We're basically all under house arrest to some degree. And we have to ask the question, why? Who is this benefiting and who is this harming? And why is it happening? And if you start getting answers to those questions, I think it'll give you a great deal of either internal relief or a desire to do something to change the way the world is going right now.
And, you know, it's a real test for everyone to learn how to stay connected to your breath and calm. And I know that you could probably even state this too. The more calmer we are, the more that we just stay connected to our breath, and we're in charge and master our emotions, the better decisions we're going to make, you know? So when people are stressed out, you know, they don't eat right, they don't live right, okay? They don't sleep right. A lot of things don't go right.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really a time for a spiritual growth for the planet. And I think the shutdown has slowed people down, and they've had some time to think about what's really important to them. And I think a lot of people are realizing that, you know, they might be workaholics and they're not spending enough time with family and friends and the things that they really value. So if you can get closer to your, you know, spiritual heart and figure out what's really important in your life, then I think this whole experience can be turned to the positive.
Thank you so much, Dr. Magna Havas, and for joining me today. But remember, she's coming back tomorrow, so we want your questions. And guess what? Your questions matter because you matter. Thank you, Dr. Magna Havas, for coming on today.
Thank you so much.
God bless. Everybody, so tomorrow, Thursday, May 14th, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we'll be live here to answer your questions. So please put them on Facebook, put them on YouTube. You'll be able to send them in on my phone as well. So just know this, that you can send them in also on intercom. And just know this, you matter, okay? So really do your homework, do your research. Don't believe what we say, don't believe what anybody says, but you know what? The truth is the most important thing. And you know, they say the truth will set you free. Well, I'll definitely tell you one thing. We need our freedom. We need to be able to come out of this lockdown and feel like we can get back to what normal is. Maybe we'll never go back to the way it used to be, but you never know. If we come together, it may even be better. And I truly believe in that. So, Friday, May 15th, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'll have my Doc Talk Q&A. Monday, May 18th, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Doc Talk Live Q&A. Wednesday, May 20th, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Stay protected while you're connected with Dr. Howard Fisher. And don't forget, join us, like I said, tomorrow. And don't forget that every one of our shows is actually time-stamped on YouTube. So every topic and every question, you'll be able to find it quickly. And also send me an email at quickstart@docofdetox.com. I'll send you my 7 empowering steps to health. Okay? Thank you for watching. And if you want to listen to any of these shows by audio, then you can go to iTunes, Spotify, or SoundCloud. Again, thank you, Dr. Magna Havas, for being here today. God bless everyone. And remember, 3, 2, 1, you got this. If you're looking for life-saving and life-changing information, well, you've come to the right place. Don't forget to click and subscribe. Stay connected.